Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I don't know why I'm playing this song. It's running through my head. Welcome to The Savage Nation. I guess I'm thinking of Nancy Pelosi, who named the first Muslim lawmaker to the House Intelligence Committee in the middle of the night, right after the Paris nightmare, in the middle of the night in a closed-door meeting. Runaround Sue Pelosi named the first Muslim lawmaker to the House's Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Now, if it was simply a man who followed the religion of Islam, it would be questionable to begin with, given the situation that we're facing. But okay, you could say, well, he's a good, you know, upstanding American. But he isn't. He isn't. Because we have tape from when he appeared before a Muslim group that WorldNet Daily posted of Andrew Carson. And if you listen to this man's rhetoric, you'll say, is Nancy Pelosi running around with the enemies of America? How in the world could she put this man not only on this Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, but worse yet, this very same Muslim, Andre Carson, was planted by the Department of Homeland Security into the so-called Fusion Center, which is a clearinghouse for all of the sensitive data collected by the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the military. And you wonder why the world no longer has any respect for America, no longer trusts America, doubts whether America is really fighting the war on Islamic terror. But don't take Michael Savage's word for it, because you've heard bad things about me. In fact, many of you liberals are so brainwashed that you would rather trust a terrorist rather than Michael Savage. That's how sick your mind is. Because liberalism is a mental disorder, and you know it. That's why you take antidepressants. That's why you go to a shrink 4 to 5 times a month or more than that. Because you know you're a sick person. Most of your friends don't know how sick you are, but I do. That is how Nancy Pelosi gets away with this. It's because of the liberals in America who are not even paying attention to their own survival. In fact, they're digging their own grave. But again, don't take my word for it. Let's play the sound of Andre Carson, Nancy Pelosi's appointment to the House Intelligence Committee, as he appeared at the 2012 ICNA convention. Listen very carefully to what he said.
Brothers and sisters, you can go to any major hospital in this country and find a Muslim physician. You can go to a major courtroom and find a Muslim attorney. You can go to the halls of Congress and only find 2 Muslim congressmen, but they're there. And we want more. And we have to have more. We have to groom the next city councilor, the next governor, the future president, the first Muslim president.
Well, we already have the first Muslim president. He would be more accurate to say the second Muslim president. And, of course, this Andre Carson falls back upon the usual victimhood in the same speech in clips 15 and 16.
Now, 9/11 was tough on Muslims. And those of us who were in the workplace faced exacerbated prejudice, unrelented bias, and in many cases, some of us were terminated from our jobs. America will never tap into educational innovation and ingenuity without looking at the model that we have in our madrasas, in our schools, where innovation is encouraged, where the foundation is the Quran.
This is who Nancy Pelosi picked in a time of terror. Now, I just rest my case because there's nothing more needs to be said. Who is she hanging around with? Who would have advised her to do this? Welcome to Unprotected Talk on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-282. I don't want to get hung up on the insanity of the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist Party on the other side of the aisle, and half of the Republican aisle at that. But the fact of the matter is there are many other topics out there that have made the news, and you can call me in my new Unprotected Talk format at 855-400-7282. We have many interesting things to announce today. Those of you who read the New York Post, either online or in New York City, have seen the article with the picture of yours truly, Michael Savage. It's a picture I kind of like of me next to a Patriot life preserver somewhere in an undisclosed location. Michael Savage, the host of the Savage Nation, will talk more than just politics. And it's in Claire Atkinson's column in the New York Post. Talk Radio Savage renews contract, plans new format. It's an interesting article because it's about me. But it also has the announcement of the $100,000 I'm giving in college scholarships. Hopefully others in the media will follow suit and try to top me and give more of their own money. I doubt that they'll do so. They're big on talk and short on the walk. But I hope they do. I hope they try to upstage me and say, I'm giving $200,000. I'm giving $500,000. That would make me happy. Upstage me, if you will. Give more. And the big news is that Savage renewed his long-term contract with Westwood One, a division of Cumulus. That's a big deal to me because my topics are health, science, religion, culture, more, and politics, as you well know. I mean, politics is my mainstay. Savage also announced an unprecedented $100,000 scholarship fund for conservative college students, emphasis on conservative, which will grant five recipients two-year awards totaling $10,000 each for the year. That's $20,000 each, actually. The scholarship winners will be selected through an essay contest opening January 15th, which is tomorrow, entitled What Does It Mean to Be an American? With the intention of promoting traditional American values. So this is a big story for me. It's a big story in the media. And in addition to his hosting duties, Savage has authored more than 20 books. It's actually 28 books, including six New York Times bestsellers. Most recently, Stop the Coming Civil War from Hachette has been in the New York Times bestsellers for 5 weeks. And interestingly enough, my third novel in the Jack Hatfield series will be released this spring, entitled Countdown to Mecca. And you can see a cover on my website from Amazon.com, and it's the opposite of what you think. I hope the Muslim haters and the Muslim sympathizers listening to this show will take the time to not do a knee-jerk reaction and say, what is he saying? What do you mean, countdown to Mecca? We better put him on a list. Why don't you read what the book is about before you show your terrorist inclinations and see what I actually created in fiction? You may just learn something. And you may just find that Michael Savage could be a great ally rather than a terrible friend. A terrible enemy? I don't know which one it is. All right, so those are some of the topics on the Savage Nation today. And I'm going to give you a quiz. Many of you are already calling 855-400-7282. Here's a quiz. What do the following nations have in common? Afghanistan, Burma, Pakistan, Philippines, Bangladesh, India, China, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Libya, Mali, Nigeria, Somalia, Algeria, Cameroon, Nigeria, Uganda, Chechnya, Dagestan, Russia, Iraq, Israel, Syria, and Yemen. What do they all have in common? It's something that Jimmy Carter doesn't know because the man apparently drinks lighter fluid and has lived on peanut shells for too long. You see, Jimmy Carter shocked the world the other day by showing his true colors, which is the anti-Jewish color of his brain that has been shown ever since he was president. He had the nerve to say that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is the origin of Islamist violence, leaving out what I just read to you, which is that all of these countries that I read to you on the Savage Nation have one thing in common. They are all fighting Muslim terrorists. And some of these countries are Muslim themselves. And yet they're fighting Muslim terrorists. Yet Jimmy Carter, thinks it's only the Jews because it shows you that he is what he is. And he was the president. Now, you could say, well, it doesn't matter because no one knows who Jimmy Carter is anymore. You're wrong, because Jimmy Carter is in many ways Barack Obama's godfather. The policies of Jimmy Carter and those of the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party, formerly known as the Democrat Party of John F. Kennedy, the Democrat Party of today has moved so far to the left that it is not the Democrat Party of JFK. It is the party of the Democrat Socialist Islamists in this country and in this world. And Obama is their main guy. He's the number one guy pushing that agenda, in my opinion. So those are some of the topics. There are many, many others. We're going to talk about the Saudi cleric who said snowmen are anti-Islamic. Did you hear that screamer? That's unbelievable to me. Do we have the soundbite? I covered it yesterday because it's worth listening to. Oh, no, no. Let's do this. Let's not do it now. I'll just tease it. A prominent Saudi Arabian lunatic cleric declared the building of snowmen as anti-Islamic. Now I ask you, he said that building snowmen imitates the infidels and it promotes lustiness and eroticism. Now I want to ask you something. Does anyone listening to this show, The Savage Nation, find snowmen erotic? Do you know of anyone, even on the level of sickness that you'd find only amongst the Hollywood elite, who are turned on by snowmen? How could a snowman invite lustiness? It just shows you how insecure some of these throwback imams are that even a snowman threatens them. Again, the phone number is 855-47282. I invite you to call Unprotected Talk. You will not be screened. I'll be right back. It is the 14th of January in the year of our Lord, 2015. I do that to insult the atheists and the Islamists. I'm surprised they haven't said it's somehow sexist or some Westocentric or something, whatever the idiots at Columbia University could come up with, that we should change our calendar and it shouldn't be 2015. The world began when Obama became president. It's really the year four A.O. after Obama. Is it? No, year six A.O. We're really not in the year 2015. It's the year six A.O. And I think the clock itself is wrong because it's Greenwich Mean Time that we're based on when the British dominated through their colonies. And I think we should change the time to center around Columbia University where a die-in is occurring or something, or a choke-in. Or let's say, you know, another country. Why make it England? The times should be changed around the world to conform with the madhouse that Obama has created. So Savage, who hosts the Savage Nation on New York 77 WABC at 3 p.m., that's one of 250 stations, will cover more topics including health, science, religion, and culture, amongst others. You should add cooking and food and reading fortune cookies on the air when I get a Chinese meal. And one quote from the article in the New York Post, "I'm not shying away from politics, and I'm not running for office like others in the media." You know, that says it all. I will discuss politics, but I'm not a politician. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think without criticizing anyone else, which is not easy to do, this is not about running for office. I'm not running for office. I don't intend to ever run for office. In fact, I run from office. I hate meetings. I hate conferences. I never was good at it. I like radio. I like talking about ideas. I like the exchange of ideas. But the thing about Unprotected Talk that's risky is I don't know what you're going to say. So I'm ready with a counter. You know, I've got to be ready for you. I don't see your name, your city, and your topic where I can have it typed out for me by a stenographer. We're not going to rehearse these calls. So let's go to the first one. Line three, you're up. Station, topic, name. All right. Done already. Station, topic, name, line three. Going once, twice.
That'd be Larry from Scotch Plains, WABC.
Well, yeah. And what's the topic? What's the topic?
Topic is homeless with a muscle car. Nobody will ever take my muscle car. I can walk this. I live in a Toyota.
I mean, you're homeless with a muscle car is what you're calling about?
Well, that and plus a few other things.
All right, let's go to the other things. Let's go past the homeless muscle car part.
All right, the runner you were talking about was Jim Fix last week.
You are right. So you're not so stupid for a homeless guy in a muscle car.
No, I'm not stupid, sir.
I know that. You know, things happen to people, but for the grace of God, any one of us could be living in a car.
No one's taking my muscle car. And the Mongol.
I'm not trying to take your muscle car. I don't even want your flabby car.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't go near your flabby car or your muscle car.
No one's taking. But the Mongol.
You were saying, I mentioned that in the 1970s when I was very heavy into the alternative health movement and writing books and articles on health. I wrote for Runner's Magazine. At the time, a very famous runner named Jim Fix, who said the only thing necessary to keep your arteries clear is exercise, not diet. And unfortunately, the man dropped dead running on a road in Vermont in his 40s, if I'm not mistaken. And it taught us all that you need both exercise and diet and vitamins and other things. Isn't that what you're saying?
Absolutely. The Mongols, right, when they fought, their families used to follow the battle. if one of the Mongols would retreat, the family would eviscerate and kill their own family member. That was also a driving force for the Mongols to fight.
You were talking. So you're a well-educated homeless man in a muscle car.
No one's ever taken my muscle car away, and I'm proud.
No, we covered that already. But what I'm saying is, how are you so well-read?
Proud of you for realizing how wonderful it is to drive a car.
Again, a car.
Feel it. Feel it. It's in your blood.
I understand. You feel the muscle in the car. I get it. It gives you a vibe running up from under your seat all the way to your brainstem. But how are you so well read for a muscle car homeless guy?
People pay homage to you when you drive down the road with the muscle.
Again, car. Okay. Let's try from the top. Are you hearing a word I'm asking you? How come you are so well read if you are a homeless man?
Well, you know, people get in situations with the government, with jobs. At your certain age, people don't want to hire people of a certain age.
No, I understand. No, I'm saying, but how are you so well read? Do you read a lot in the car? I
read over 3,000 books on military.
Okay, so you're a well-read homeless man in a muscle car, and it's amazing that we finally got to that. Maybe he's got the books in his trunk along with the bodies. The Dodge, what did I just get? A Dodge? I forgot the name of it already. I can't even remember the Hellcat. They opened the trunk in the dealership, and I said, holy God, this is a real Sopranos trunk. And the woman said, yes, it fits too. And then she showed me the latch you can pull as in all new cars to let yourself out. I said, well, it's not going to help those put back there if it wasn't my car. I mean, a latch isn't going to help them because they're not going to be back there reading a book on the Mongols. All right, I'll be back. Be here or be nowhere. France sends aircraft carrier to help U.S. fight ISIS. We wouldn't even send John Kerry to Paris, but France is sending the Charles de Gaulle aircraft carrier to the Mideast to fight the Islamic State group. Now, according to Obama, there is no Islam in the Islamic State group, although they call themselves the Islamic State and they rape, murder, kill, blow up churches. Obama and the entire coalition of sorority girls who run the country claim that although it's called the Islamic State, there's nothing to do with Islam. Okay. A week after terror attacks around Paris left 20 people dead, including three Muslim fanatics, President François Hollande said the situation justifies the presence of our aircraft carrier. Now, it is true that France is already carrying out airstrikes against the Muslim extremist group in Iraq, but the aircraft carrier adds a great deal of muscle to our aircraft carrier that is there. Of course, our aircraft carrier under Obama is probably spending a good deal of its time there going through diversity training and making certain that the birthing clinics inside the aircraft carrier are working around the clock. Because you have to understand that a diverse Navy is a good Navy. It doesn't matter whether it's a Navy that's able to fight the terrorists. What's important is that the aircraft carriers look like the universities from where the people who are running the Navy came. Let's go to the next caller, line 5. You're up, city, state, topic, name. What's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage. This is Bob talking from Sebastopol, California on the great KSFO.
Well, first of all, I'm flabbergasted. You got your name, the station. You got it all in, and even now and I'm so flabbergasted. What's the topic now?
Doctor, when you were speaking about the Blue Angels, you were very impressed by the sound of the Blue Angels flying above, particularly when they let off on the acceleration.
Yes, yes. I wanted to know what made that sound, like an animal it sounded to me. When they would come flying right, I'm on 20th floor in a building I have an apartment in 20th floor of a building. When they go past that window, when they slow down, they made an animal sound, like the thing was groaning. What is that?
You don't know how close you are, doctor. I was fishing several years ago, catch and release, of course, because I'm kind to animals as you are, and I love animals as well. I was fishing in a high mountain lake that was very, very quiet in the morning. When the silence was just shattered by a sound of like a jet aircraft descending upon me. I looked above and saw three mallard ducks descending from high flight, circling around this pond, and it was the sound of the wind rushing across their outstretched wings. And what you heard, doctor, was, as an educated man, you know where I'm getting at, the sound of Bernoulli's principle.
I'm not familiar with Bernoulli's principle. I could fake it and say, make believe I'm a regular talk show. Oh, yeah. And I don't know what that is. What is Bernoulli's principle?
Bernoulli's principle is the principle of flight. The wing is more curved on top than the bottom. The wind rushes faster over the top than the bottom. When the velocity is high over the top, the pressure is low. When the velocity is low under the wing, which is less curved, the pressure is higher and allows the ducks to fly and stay in the air. What you heard was the sound of the air rushing across these outstretched wings in an over the jet aircraft, just as well as a duck descending.
So you're saying when the ducks come down from high altitude, they give off a sound, certainly not as loud, but you're saying it's a pretty loud sound as well?
They're not squawking. It's the air rushing over the wings, Doctor, because it sounded...
No, like I'm listening to you, but what you're saying is the sound you heard was pretty loud from the ducks?
Oh, my God. It sounded like a jet aircraft above me.
Just from from Donald and Daisy coming back from a high altitude run?
And they weren't high. I mean, they're coming down, but they weren't high.
I love ducks. I've always loved ducks ever since I colored them in a coloring book, the Walt Disney coloring books as a kid. I've always had a thing about ducks. I don't even like eating them. There's certain animals I won't eat. I don't like eating ducks. They have like that smile on their face. How could you eat something that smiles?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, on the other hand, if you got an animal that's snarling and, you know, nasty, I mean, do you want to eat that? The meat is pretty tough.
You're probably right.
Well, hey, tell everyone where Sebastopol is. You're in Apple Country in Northern California, isn't that correct?
Probably about 30 miles north of where you are in Marin. And I do have apple trees on my property.
But Sebastopol is well known for being apple country.
Well, it's becoming more wine country now. They're vineyards.
Oh, you got a lot of people who wine from San Francisco who moved in. That's true.
That's right. There's a lot of vineyards up here now. I mean, I have...
You got clavins of women who've moved to Sebastopol. That's why I don't go there anymore. I get the creeps. If I drive through the city, I feel like I'm in a clavin. I feel like I'm in some kind of witchcraft when I drive down the streets of Sebastopol. Why did that group find your town to be so appealing? It couldn't be the apples.
Doctor, I don't go to town.
Wait a minute. It could be the apples. Isn't it said in the Bible that Eve ate the apple and the apple of knowledge is what destroyed the world? So it could be that the witches have found the apples of Sebastopol to be significant in that regard.
Well,
is that stretching a metaphor a little too far? I want to thank you for calling the savage. And there are certain towns I don't go to because of the feelings, the eerie feelings in the street. I mean, I don't mind witches, but you know, they can be part of the picture. But when the whole town feels like it's been taken over by invasion of the body snatchers, I don't want to go there. It used to be a beautiful, as many Northern California towns were, primarily, I hate to use the word working class, but that's what they were. Everyone worked. Nobody was on welfare. Now the reverse is true. Clavins, Line 8, next. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Line 8?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Joe. I want to make a comment.
All right, Joe, what station are you listening on?
WABC 77.
Bingo. So what's your topic?
My topic is a response to why we didn't have a no-show in Paris.
Okay.
When will the American people realize that we're not on that side? We don't want to make a representation against these Muslim terrorists. We're playing with these people. You cannot play with people. You cannot play with a rabid animal. You and I are both animal lovers. You know how much we love animals. But once an animal is rabid, there's only one thing that you can do with that poor beast.
Yeah, but some would argue that our leadership is rabid.
Well, and
to be very blunt, they're acting like rabid mad animals because they're not Americans. Are you telling me flooding America with 30 million illegal aliens is the act of an American who loves the country? You're telling me not sending a representative to Paris after such attack is representation of patriotism or of a rabid mad dog?
Exactly.
Well, that's all I can say on the matter. Any more than that, I won't be on the radio much longer. Hello, infidels. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. Next up is Line 9, Unprotected Talk. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hello.
Yes, name, station, topic.
My name's Steve. I'm on 6:30 a.m. It's WMAL. and Mount Airy, Maryland. And the topic is a cultural topic about a movie that's out.
I love that. You see, I've always done topics beyond politics. And one of the phrases I created in 1994 was news, views, and reviews. So what's the movie you want to review?
It's called Old Fashioned.
And, all right, so fire away. What's so interesting about it?
Well, it's interesting because it's a bit of culture that America needs to remember. If you look at the trailer, it kind of bounces.
All right, well, let's slow down. What's it about? Who's in it?
Well, I don't think any big-name actors are in it.
All right, so why is it important from your point of view? It's certainly not how to make the drink old-fashioned, is it?
No, it is.
All right, so what is it about? Give us a 10-second, 20-second version.
Okay, it's about relationships between men and women, wholesome, honest sort of relationships, not shallow.
Does that still exist somewhere in America?
On this movie. So.
All right, so it's called Old Fashioned. I will look for it in a, I don't know, on TV or something like that. Let's move down to the next caller on Unprotected Talk. No, let's look at some of the topics that I've pulled for today. Jimmy Carter says Israeli-Palestine conflict, one of the origins of Islamist violence. And I showed you that about 25 nations are at war with radical Islamists. Diane Feinstein says terrorist sleeper cells are in the U.S. If she knows that, then why aren't they doing something about it? You know, I love when these politicians tell us what we already know and they do nothing about it. If the great esteemed lady, Diane Feinstein, who's the chairman of the most powerful committee in America, the Senate Intelligence Committee, says that there are terrorist sleeper cells in the U.S., why haven't these sleepers been broken and arrested yet? Can anyone answer that? Could it be because they're already catering to Islamic ideology in one way or another? Oh, sure it could be. Here is her friend over there on Pacific Heights, Nancy Pelosi, who names the first Muslim lawmaker to the House Intelligence Committee. And as I said earlier in the show, unto itself, Muslim doesn't mean bad. But this guy doesn't sound too good. Not when you review what Andre Carson, the Muslim she appointed, said during a closed meeting with fellow Muslims, which we have played for you. Listen to clip 16 from the man that Pelosi picked.
America will never tap into educational innovation and ingenuity without looking at the model that we have in our madrasas, in our schools, where innovation is encouraged, where the foundation is the Quran.
Innovation is not encouraged in madrasas at all. It is rote learning by young people, mainly boys, who parrot words they hardly understand. And if the foundation is the Quran, we should be very worried indeed, because as many educated Muslims now are saying little by little, there are certain things in the Quran which talk about killing the infidel. And that's what worries all of us. And that's why I wonder why Nancy Pelosi would have picked this Muslim congressman, Andre Carson, for such an intelligence committee. That's what worries me very deeply. What is going on here? Is there a fifth column operating? Of course there is. And many of you don't know what a fifth column is. I've explained it over 20 years. I can make it very simple for you. Well, it's in the Spanish Civil War. You can look it up. And a Spanish general said that as his columns, he had four columns of Spanish troops marching on the capital during the Spanish Civil War. He said amongst the four columns of loyal troops, there was a fifth column of turncoats who were not loyal to the army. And that's what that's where the phrase fifth column came from. You certainly know that we have a fifth column operating in America, in many, many halls of this government, many avenues of this government. And the only good news on this is to be found on the top of the Drudge Report. Poll says troops turn on commander-in-chief deeply unpopular. It means even the lowly soldiers can see through this empty suit. Yes, Military Times, I guess that's now a newspaper that's slated for destruction by the commander-in-chief. A deeply unpopular commander-in-chief, we read, is forcing profound change inside the ranks. Really, and what change is he forcing? The social customs of rank-and-file troops? The cultural changes he's overseeing? What exactly is the great president doing to the military? Well, I think that if you investigate, you'll find out that what this unpopular commander-in-chief is doing is what's been done to our universities, not to the betterment of learning, but unfortunately for the opposite. Almost 2,300 active duty service members were polled, and just 15% support this fraud, this commander-in-chief. And his disapproval ratings amongst troops have increased to 55% from 40%. So what is it that's turning the troops against this horrible, horrible man? Here's the answer. The greatest cultural shift under President Obama may well be the swiftly growing acceptance of homosexuality in the ranks in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell replacement law. And a Military Times poll found 35% of troops felt that gays and lesbians should be allowed to serve in uniform. That was in 09. 5 years later, in 14, that figure jumped to 60%. But similarly, open opposition to homosexuality in the military has collapsed. In 2009, 49% of troops felt gays, lesbians, and bisexuals should not be allowed to serve. In 2014, such disapproval fell to just 19%. So the homosexual issue is not the issue that's turning the troops against the president. It's something else. And it's these something else's that have to do with national security that we should be worried about, not who puts what where. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation, where suddenly it's 1955. You could say, well, I'm stuck in the past. In some ways, yes. I'm very proudly stuck in the past in some ways, because I am not a progressive, in that I am not a lemming rushing over the precipice to prove how cool I am. Not everything from the past was bad. Certain things were quite good. For example, when you put women in combat roles in the military, you screw up the military. And the soldiers are seeing that. And Obama, of course, is treating the military like Columbia University. And they want women in combat units. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, ask the men who face the enemy's bullets and knives. And they're saying things such as, many men in combat units don't realize that you don't need to protect a female soldier. But 5 out of 10 will do it. And they're going to get killed doing it. They see her as a little sister. And of the 10 men in the unit, 3 guys there saying are trying to hook up with her. And 2 guys will hate her and treat her like crap because she won't hook up with them. And so introducing women into all combat male units is causing great trouble in the military, including amongst the wives back home. When they hear about a fit female going out into a combat situation with 15 dudes. So you see, Barack Obama is really a commander-in-chief for Columbia University, not for the U.S. military.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome back to The Savage Nation. The unprotected talk format continues. Phone number is 855-400-7282. If you get on the show, you'll speak to more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. And we're talking about the latest poll coming out of the military showing Obama's the most unpopular commander, if you want to call him in chief, in the history of the U.S. military. And there's no question why. The man is permitting the sorority girls who ran some of the worst colleges in America to run the military. He has women who have never flown a jet commanding the Air Force. He has women who can't drive a Chris Craft outboard motorboat running the Navy. And so it sort of has its effect upon the fighting men of the military. And here's an example of why the service members are unhappy. They invented a thing about sexual assault because that came from the universities. And Hagel, the worst defense secretary to have ever hit the military, started to impose it upon military units across the board. Sexual assault training, sexual assault training. And yet most military members aren't even sure whether there was any sexual assault. But it was invented by the contingent of radical feminists who have stolen the military from us, from we the American people, and they're trying to advance themselves within the military by running the men down. And here's an example. Army Staff Sergeant Alexander von Arstel said the military sexual harassment and assault prevention training is one-sided and overly focused on painting men as aggressors and women as victims. And here's what he said. He said, a common thing among male service members when they head into the training is to say, it's time to learn what a racist, sexist, intolerant bastard I am, Van Arsdale said. That's what it feels like. We start to get a little indignant and upset and feel persecuted in our own right. Well, you should. He said, the more you beat somebody down on something, the more likely it is to say, screw this and toss it aside. And so that's what Obama's doing to the military. He's destroying the culture. Just as he's destroyed the culture, the borders, and the language in America, he is destroying the military itself from the inside out. They're noting that sexual assault prevention and response training has almost entirely portrayed sexual assault as a male-on-female crime. But everyone knows that there's female-on-male sexual harassment. Everyone knows there's male-on-male sexual harassment. Everyone knows there's female-on-female, etc. and so on. Everyone knows except the radical feminists in the sorority that run the military appointed by Obama. Instead of teaching the men how to beat ISIS, they're having sexual assault prevention and response classes every single week for 2 to 3 months. The exact same training, the same brainwashing by the radical feminists who have taken over the military. You get the picture of why Obama is the most unpopular commander-in-chief. And you say, well, what do I care? I'm not in the military. You better care. You better care because your national security is now in the hands of Barack Hussein Obama. Today, of course, there was a big vote. GOP-led House votes to unravel Obama's actions on illegal immigration. The Republican-led House voted to overturn Obama's immigration actions from last November because all of his actions were unconstitutional and illegal, by the way, and to unravel a directive from 2012 protecting immigrants who came to the U.S. illegally as children, sending the bill to the Senate where you know what's going to happen. The Senate, as you all know, is the party of the Whigs, and they're all wigged out. The Senate is wigged out by a group of lobbyists that don't represent the people in any way that I can understand. And so you know it'll be driven down by the Senate, where although the Republicans have a slim majority, the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party is still extremely potent, and they are owned lock, stock, and barrel by forces that are clearly not operating in the interests of the American people. That opens us up to the show itself now. Unprotected Talk continues with one open line at 855-407-282. Any topic, by the way, not just the ones that I've mentioned thus far, although they're fine if you want to talk about them. Let's go to line number two. My friend, what's your name, station, and topic?
So, from New York City, I'm talking about the Crayola crayon, that Boehner. He lied to us. He lied to everybody.
I know, but it's an old story. It's boring. How many times do I have to hear on conservative talk that Boehner is a liar? What, that's something new? A, he's a politician, so that goes with the territory. They're all liars, aren't they?
You know what he did? He put a book...
Oh, wait. I know what he did, but stop beating me up with it already. I heard it. If you turn on radio from morning till night, we know Boehner is a piece of you-know-what. So what good is talking about it?
I'm not. I just want to let you know that we voted for them like you said. We...
All right, already. If I listen to it on another show, you know what I do? I turn the show off. How do you like that? My dog gets agitated and scurries under a table if he hears a caller complaining about Boehner. I'm tired of belly aching already. Stop belly aching about Boehner. What do you want me to do about it? Boehner is a fraud through and through. Now, of course, he gave a speech, I think last night or today, to try to make believe he isn't a faker. He came out, you could hear him mumbling through the speech. I mean, it's so patently clear what he is. A lobbyist, a stooge. So I'm going to play a little bit of what Boehner read, and you'll see here. He's trying to make believe he's really representing the voter. Listen to clip 03.
In fact, on at least 22 occasions, He said he did not have the authority to do what he has done. Before he became president, on March 31st, 2008, the president said, and I quote, "I take the Constitution very seriously. The biggest problems that we're facing right now have to do with the president trying to not go through Congress at all. And that's what I intend to reverse when I'm president."
Okay, they got him out of the cloakroom for that little one. Oh, he goes on and on. And he's trying to show you that he represents the voter, you know. You know, what's the point of playing it? Let's play one clip six now for the rest of the little bit of the speech.
On October 25th, 2010, the president said, and I quote, "I am president. I am not king. I can't do these things just by myself. I can't just make up the laws by myself." On March 28th, 2011, the president said, and I quote, "America is a nation of laws, which means that I, as president, am obligated to enforce the law."
The guy can hardly stumble through a paragraph. You know he doesn't mean a word he's saying. He was told by his party, "Hey, look, John, go out there and give a speech making believe that you're as angry as they are, and make believe you're going to take the president on. Even though we know that Nancy Pelosi gave you the kiss to welcome you into her club, make believe that you represent the American people in some way." So I don't take, you know, I take this with a grain of salt. Listen to clip 10, another one.
On January 30th, 2013, the president said, and I quote, "I am not a king. I'm head of the executive branch. I'm required to follow the law." On January 30th, 2013, the president also said, and I quote, "I'm not a king. You know, my job as head of the executive branch is ultimately to carry out the law."
Did he say king or kid? It's very hard to distinguish. I know he meant to say, "I'm not a king," but it sounded like he said, "I'm not a kid." Robert, isn't it hard to distinguish, or am I imagining? There's nothing wrong with my ear. It's hard to establish what he's saying, Boehner, because I think the ice in the glass somehow freezes the tongue and changes the diction, or the enunciation, whatever it is. So you think I'm going to take this seriously. I'm a cynic. I wasn't born cynical. I became cynical by age 5. And my cynicism has only increased as I become older. But if you think I have any faith in the Republican Party, you'll understand why I am not a Republican. I'm an independent. I've been so for most of my voting life, so far as I can remember. I had no idea what voting really meant when I was 21. I just voted on the amount of hair a person had. I remember being a young school teacher in New York City and voting based on who looked better. I don't think anything's much different in America today. In other words, if it was handsome with long hair or she was good looking, I voted for them. I had no idea what their policies were. Do you think anything has changed? Answer, no. I'll be right back. Remember back many years ago when the conservatives were running America, the lunatics on the left used to say the inmates are running the asylum. And it was like, oh, inmates running the asylum, inmates running the asylum. Well, now it's beyond the inmates running the asylum. The lunatics who have ruined every aspect of America have just passed a new law in West Hollywood requiring gender-neutral single-stall bathrooms in California in this city. Businesses in West Hollywood have 60 days to comply with a new law requiring all single-stall restrooms to be gender-neutral and not restrict usage to a single sex. Now, the aim of this insanity is to accommodate the small number of transgender and gender non-conforming people. So that means if you're a pervert and you're a man, you can now go and watch women in a bathroom. I hope we can encourage other cities to adopt this, said Abby Land, a councilwoman who initiated the law. She said, it's really so easy when you think about it. I'm glad that we're one of the cities moving toward that. The L.A. suburb, which has a sizable gay and transgender population, passed the ordinance in June. It doesn't apply to multiple stall restrooms. A city statement reads as follows. Gender-specific restrooms can be unwelcoming and potentially unsafe for many people whose gender identity falls outside of traditional gender norms. So that means that someone who is sexually ambivalent or sexually confused or sexually outright crazy has now twisted the laws to conform to their insanity. They then went on, the city said. The law will also prove beneficial to, quote, people with disabilities or with personal attendance. How? How does that work? I don't quite understand that. So that's an example of what happens when a college sorority takes over a country. Every crazy rule that colleges have imposed upon the student body over the last 15 to 20 years, every insane act of these liberal institutions of lower living is now being imposed on society at large by the sorority that surrounds Barack Hussein Obama. Instead of training the military to fight ISIS, they're training them to not be sexist. Instead of worrying about rapists and making sure they don't rape, they're making everybody else sit in horror and fear that a pervert will pretend that he's a transgender and stare at them in a bathroom. This is the world that's upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland, in my opinion. So when I said to you earlier in the last hour, suddenly it's 1955, not everything from the past was bad, I think you sort of get the picture. Yes? Line number six. You're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Kevin from San Francisco on KSFO, and I wanted to mention that the term fifth column actually comes from the Prussian spymaster Wilhelm Stieber, who also was a commander of the Fels Gendarmerie.
Well, you're disagreeing with the facts, I think, not with me, because you're quoting which source for your statement?
It's a book on the history of spies and also his memoir.
Let's start by saying that we both agree that a fifth column is any group of people who undermine a larger group. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
The only difference in our discussion is you say it comes from the Prussian military. When I'm quoting Emilio Mola, a nationalist general during the Spanish Civil War, who told a journalist in 1936 that as his four columns of troops were approaching Madrid, a, quote, fifth column of supporters inside the city would support him and undermine the Republican government from within. And that term was widely used in Spain. Ernest Hemingway used it as the title of his only play when he wrote in Madrid while the city was being bombarded. And the book was called The Fifth Column and the First 49 Stories. However, some will quote other sources, as you are doing now. I don't even know where your reference comes from.
Well, it came from a book I read on the history of espionage, and then it was also from his memoir.
All right, well, we're splitting hairs, but we do know that it means the undermining of a larger force, correct?
Right.
Okay, so would we agree then that Obama is sort of running a fifth column in this government? Would you say that's stretching it too far?
No. Well, I think the whole government is riven with his fellow travelers. And
all right, see, that's why I didn't want to argue with you, really, because we're saying the same thing. We both see things for what they are. And there's no country on earth that could survive a traitor like this. I know I shouldn't be saying it because people are going to take offense, but you know, there comes a time at which every man has to stand up. Just as Formidian stood up in France to the Islamists, I think we all better stand up and be counted against this man before he destroys us forever. And I think it has to start with the individual in the supermarket. Enough is enough from this man. Enough is enough flooding us with illegal aliens, unconstitutional, unbelievable, no regard to what it will do to the budgets of the state, what it will do to the hospitals, the schools, the prisons. It's beyond comprehension that he gets away with this, but there's only one reason for it. And you know the reason. I don't have to repeat it, right?
Right.
Thank you. Glad we agree. That opens up one line at 855-400-7282. Line number three, you're next up. Topic, please go ahead.
Am I online?
Yes, you're on the air right now, live. Give us your station name and topic.
I'm sorry, this is Annie from WFNC, North Carolina. And, you know, I don't find snowmen sexy. And I don't have a topic, I just have a question for you.
Wait, you don't find snowmen sexy, or you do?
I don't.
Well, you better tell the Islamist preacher in Saudi Arabia that you're not eroticized by a snowman.
No, absolutely not. No, that doesn't do a thing for me.
Because apparently the Muslim fanatics in Saudi Arabia who will call themselves imams say that snowmen are an act of the infidels and it eroticizes the people. I don't know how it can eroticize anybody. In fact, if I were running a nut house for sexual deviance, one of the trainings I'd give them to be to roll in the snow with snowmen. I think it would dampen their enthusiasm for certain activities.
Maybe they'd loosen them up, huh?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the coal in their eyes or something that turns them on. I don't know. It reminds them of the devil that they were. Whatever. What else is on your mind?
Well, I don't have a topic. I just have a question. This weekend, someplace in Texas, they're having, like, this big rally. And the theme's going to be like getting to know the Prophet Muhammad and understanding why jihadists do what they do.
Yeah, who's running it? Who's running it, Obama?
I just heard it. I just heard it on the radio.
Yeah, no, I know about the conference. And who will give who's going to give a surprise appearance? Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama, Joseph Biden, or John Kerry, or all of them? Maybe they can help us understand the Prophet Muhammad a little better.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
It is 34 minutes after the hour on the one and only show for infidels, the Savage Nation. You know, I'm thinking back on Nancy Pelosi's fifth columnist work, appointing a radical Muslim. What else would you call Andre Carson but a radical Muslim when he says we must have more Muslims in Congress? A listener sends an email saying, isn't there any expectation of separation of church and state? How in the world can Pelosi pick a man who says we must have more Muslims in Congress? If you missed it, you're going to hear it now. Listen to clip 19 and 21.
Brothers and sisters, you can go to any major hospital in this country and find a Muslim physician. You can go to a major courtroom and find a Muslim attorney. You can go to the halls of Congress and only find two Muslim congressmen, but they're there. And we want more. And we have to have more. We have to groom the next city councilor, the next governor, the future president, the first Muslim president.
Now, what if someone gave a speech that we need more Christians in Congress, or more Jews, or more Buddhists, or more Hindus? Would you think that Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein would get up in arms? If you say the word Jesus or Christian, I guarantee you Ratzenberg, and Weinstein would go berserk. But no, not a word about more Muslims required. No. The brave men of Hollywood have produced movie after movie after movie showing the white man as evil. Rarely, if ever, show the real enemy. When have you last seen a movie? The Lone Survivor was the only one I remember where they showed the enemy for being the Taliban of Afghanistan. It was a great movie with Wahlberg. But, that was the only one I know of produced by Hollywood. It was sort of an indie production in some ways. I don't think Weinstein's hands are on that. Oh, no. Weinstein's producing a movie about disarming the American people. That's his answer to every problem. Whatever his boss Obama wants, Weinstein does. Look how far we've fallen from the distant past when you had men like Harry B. Warner running Hollywood a long time ago. They made patriotic movies during World War II, showing the Nazi for what he was, and showing the American hero for who he was, showing the cop as hero and the criminal as the criminal. And look how far we've fallen with Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein. Take a look at the kind of garbage they put out. Every movie is a twisted vision of reality. And is it any wonder the country is in turmoil? You see, the image factories that produce these images for America and the world have literally twisted the minds of an entire generation. But there's nothing I can do about it other than tell you about it. I can't change it. I'm not a movie maker. Andre Carson, Nancy Pelosi's appointment to the House Intelligence Committee at a 2012 ICNA convention, says we need more Muslims in Congress. And we need to train and groom our first Muslim president. Now, as I say, he's wrong about that, because of those who would argue we already have had our first Muslim president. And frankly, it's hard to know really what he is, because if you're questioning the man's loyalty by his acts, it means that where there's smoke, there's fire. It's that simple. Now, we have the problem in New York City when the police department under Bloomberg was working in conjunction with the CIA to spy on Muslims in those mosques because they understood where the terror was coming from. And take a guess who stopped that. Listen to clip number 20. You'll find out who put a stop to the NYPD.
When the New York Police Department was finally exposed for working in conjunction with the CIA to spy on Muslims in our masjids, and we protested, and I, along with my brother Keith Ellison, spoke out against this injustice. That sent a message. We can't stop there, because if we stop, we solidify the mythology about Muslims.
Mythology? What's that mythology, sir? The mythology of the fact that if you do some investigation, you'll find some similarities in the mythology and the reality that you're referring to. And I pointed them out to you. There are many nations at war with their neighbors, and the neighbors happen to be Muslim. Some of them are even Muslim countries. So what is wrong with pointing out that radical Muslims are at war with people around the world? I mean, where's the problem with that one? Unless you can identify the enemy, as our president certainly can't do, nor can Jimmy Carter or Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, do I have to go down the list of fifth columnists? You know, either they're working for the other side, or they don't even know what the other side is, or if there is another side. It doesn't matter, though. If they're not working for the national security of this nation, then they may as well be working for the radical Islamists. It's that simple. Either you're for us, or you're against us. There's no middle ground. And this entire administration has so parsed the truth with regard to radical Islam that it doesn't matter to me whether or not they're on the other side or not, because they're acting as though they are. And that's all I have to say on that matter. Now, at this juncture, I'd like to do something a little different and get off this political stuff, because I know that many of you can't take it. You can only take it for so long as I can. I did an interview this morning with Radio Inc. magazine about that announcement in the New York Post about the long-term renewal of my contract on radio, my introduction of the unprotected talk format, explaining what it really is, and my announcement of $100,000 in college scholarships. Let's play a little of that now, Robert. Go ahead, please.
Michael, why don't you just tell me about your new unprotected talk format?
Well, it means exactly what it says. Rather than what I've done for 20 years, which is having the call screened as to name, station, and topic, carefully screened, I decided to open the show up to a much broader type of format, because I don't know what I'm going to get. And we've been getting callers that normally would never pass a screener. For example, last week we had a man calling from somewhere in Iowa who was working in a greenhouse, who on first take would have sounded too slow to be, you know, picked up for a call. But when we listened to him, it turned out he was one of the most phenomenally interesting genetic engineers, talking about what he was doing with genetic engineering and how it applies to what Obama's doing to genetically reengineering America, for example. It was awesome. I'm giving you an example of, you know, what can happen in the positive way with unprotected talk. On the negative side, we get people who really shouldn't be on the radio, and I just kind of dismiss them, meaning if they're all over the map or, you know, not interesting, I say, just hang up on them and say goodbye.
Right. So are you not screening at all? Are you taking calls screenless, or just a brief, you know, screening with your call screener?
Zero screening.
All right.
Zero.
I love that.
It zero, makes... because we're getting, first of all, it creates a drama and a mystery for the listener. And I've been getting rave reviews from people that count in the media who I, you know, respect, who love my show. And they said that what it's doing is making them listen much longer.
Right.
Because they don't know what's coming next. On the other hand, if I have breaking news, which we've had with the president not attending the Paris rally, which is really a phenomenal piece of world news, that's all we talked about for the whole day, you know, and on into the next day. Because that's all it really is worth talking about. You know, so with breaking news, I'll go to the older format of the major. But I still open my show with my own monologues. It's not just, oh, let's go to the callers. It's not the lazy man's radio. I will open the show with what really is stirring me and give a 5 or 10 minute opening to most hours. And they're usually different than each hour, 3 hours. And then we go to the calls.
Right. So you're still going to do the firebrand Michael Savage radio show. I mean, you're not taming it down in any way at all. I mean,
No, that's a myth that my enemies are creating, that Cumulus talked to me and told me. That's rubbish.
Yeah.
One thing I have to say about Cumulus, which is all positive anyway.
Yeah, and congratulations on the new contract.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's going to carry me through the presidential election, to the chagrin of the socialists who are running the country into the ground. But the fact is, I have never once heard one call or one email from anyone at Cumulus about my show content, ever. It's not like, you know, where I'm edited or controlled or told to do something. They're amazing in terms of freedom of speech. Amazing. And believe me, I know the difference because I lived with it for years.
I appreciate you giving us a little time this morning to talk to the Radio Inc. listeners. Before we let you go, I bet you want to talk about your new scholarship fund, though. Why don't you tell us about that real quick?
Right. I took $100,000, and I've dedicated it to $20,000 for each of five winners. That's $10,000 a year each. So that's $20,000 each winner, five winners. Scholarship program initiates January 15th. They can start applying then. All the rules are on michaelsavage.com. It's open only to undergraduates who have financial need. They have to prove the financial need by filing a certain form that, frankly, the federal government requires on financial form. The federal government's pretty strict on it, so it's a good way for them to demonstrate that they're not faking it. I want to help the kids who have no help at all, struggler. And it's called What It Means to Be an American.
Good
and
name.
So I'm trying to encourage those kids who go into college with some love for this country and have to hide it before it's beaten out of them by the brainwashing machines that most colleges have become, unfortunately. And I'm highly educated with three graduate degrees, so I'm totally in favor of education. I'm not against it.
Right.
And, not like some in radio keep thinking that education, well, where are we going? We want to become primitives? It's absurd. I keep hearing this putting down colleges. It's crazy. In the hard sciences, there's hardly any politics in it. There's plenty of areas that we need to get these kids and keep them in school, engineering, technology, et cetera. And that's not all social science, the gooey kind of poli-sci stuff.
And radio. We need great talent in radio like you.
Yeah, right. we need education in radio. I don't want to slam anyone else, and that's not my intent. But one of the missing links in talk radio is the educated opinion, meaning some historical background.
Right.
For example, on my show yesterday, again, to blow my own horn, what could I do? That's the nature of the beast. I was talking about the current problem we're having with the Islamic extremism. And I said, yes, you could look at the history of Islamic invasions because it's been going on 1,000 years. But a better model would be the Mongol invasions of the 13th century. And I gave the example of what Genghis Khan did and his descendants when they conquered a city, which is they annihilated. They slaughtered everybody in the city or assimilated them. I said, it's not too dissimilar to what we're seeing with ISIS in Syria or in Iraq. So what I'm saying here is history is also a very important part of talk radio, or should be to me, and I think it's a missing link. It's one of the reasons that, again, there's a metric that everyone's overlooking, and that is the streaming radio metric. And that's because we're all in the terrestrial radio business,
right,
which is what we sell. I get it. But let's not underestimate the streaming radio metric from Talkers. What is that company called? TalkStream Live. I mean, the sample was over 1 million people. I have a 25-share. Rush has a 12-share.
Mm-hmm.
That means the younger people who listen to radio on Android devices, iPhones or whatever, seem to have found me and they like me. And that's very reassuring because I'm probably, I hate to say it, one of the oldest people in talk radio. And I would call it senior, but that starts to sound feeble. I would say, to get young people who like me tells me that they're thirsting for authority and they're thirsting for an educated, funny opinion.
And logic. That's another thing missing from talk radio.
Well, I'd say logic, right. Logic and scientific method. Aristotelian logic is missing.
It's pretty much non-existent. Michael Savage, I appreciate you talking to us so much this morning, and I'm sure Radio Inc. listeners and readers are going to like it.
Let me hear it.
On your new deal, congratulations on your scholarship, and I'm a fan. I'll be listening. I can't wait to hear the new unprotected talk format as it gets more and more streamlined.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So as ISIS continues to try to drag us back into, not so much the Stone Age, the 9th century, we have madness in this country dragging us into a hell that's almost unimaginable. Here's a story from the Hollywood Reporter, 23 Hollywood moms, if you want to call them that, with same sperm donor go on vacation. And the headline reads, and that's just one fertility story out of Hollywood where new technology, pick the eye color, freeze your ovaries, and gay-friendly parental rights have spawned a booming baby business. So as a result of gays who want children, we have this going on, the Brave New World that Huxley warned us about, where not only eye color would be picked, but, well, many, many other things. And it's all being done under the guise of human rights, advancement of civilization. And where this leads, of course, is where it led in Brave New World, where viviparous reproduction, meaning a man and a woman having a baby, will soon be seen as passé. You mean you're a viviparous baby? You had a father and a mother? That's, ew. That is so unsanitary. That's not the way of Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinsteinville. Oh, no, we're much more advanced than that. We're far more progressive about children than your old viviparous reproduction. Why, who would take a chance of what might turn out with a man and a woman? We're far more advanced. We can make sure that the donor has no Alzheimer's, for example, in their genetic background or any other negative qualities. In other words, we're little mini eugenicists. We are, all of us, progressives. And we want perfect children because we are perfect. We're all narcissists, and so we must have narcissistic little offspring who are as perfect as we are. And we're guaranteeing perfect children because we go to Dr. X in West Hollywood, who guarantees perfect children or your money back. And so we read about the couples who are doing this, and you can find it for yourself in the Hollywood Reporter. Egg donation is a largely unregulated industry. And we read about the various and sundry individuals who are enjoying the fruits of their, shall I say, whatever you call it. So in other words, it's no longer just about gay rights. It's now about making perfect children, which is now bringing us to the area of eugenics, if you think about it. Because when you want a perfect child guaranteed, what are you going to do if the child that's hatched in your laboratory isn't perfect? Throw it into a dumpster? Or give it out to somebody in the valley to raise because it doesn't reflect your perfection? Think about what I'm saying to you, and think about where the eugenics movement came from, Margaret Sanger, Adolf Hitler, and where it's going. And think about who's carrying, not the football, but the ovum.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I think that it is really reckless on the part of my Republican colleagues to begin the year by proposing legislation that you know well in advance is going to be vetoed. We need to get to the serious business of the American people. This is why I really support the president doing executive orders, because if that's the only way that we're going to get anything done, if that's the only way we're going to be able to govern the country, then more power to him.
So now you know where fascism is coming from. It's from the well-meaning, if they are well-meaning, academic left, such as Representative Karen Bass, whoever the heck she may be, on, of course, the police-hating Al Sharpton show today, saying, more power to King Obama. Executive order is the only way to govern right now, because we've got to do the people's business. That's what Adolf said. Adolf said the Reichstag is a wonderful place. It's a nice building, but it's really not a place for any discussion. He knows everything, and therefore, who cares what the people vote think? Who cares what the German people think? Who cares what the opposition, which existed in a very small amount, mattered in Germany? The important thing is that the Führer does his business, the business of the German people. You say, don't make such a jump? I'll make the jump, because we are so close to having a total dictatorship, you don't even know it. Here are some of the headlines. Secret Service removes four senior officials in agency shakeup. You can see them yourself at the Drudge Report. FBI says an Ohio man arrested for ISIS-inspired plot on U.S. Capitol. I doubt that they'll identify him. And, of course, although ISIS stands for Islamic State, the president and his cronies refuse to say it has anything to do with Islam. And Christopher Lee Cornell age 20, was hoping to set off a series of bombs aimed at lawmakers. I know who he is, and let's see. Oh, no, nothing to do with Islam again. See, nothing to do with Islam. You have to read on until you find there's a weak connection to Muslims and Islam. But you'd have to read the whole story on ABC News to even find that. Who bothers? Ohio man arrested for alleged ISIS-inspired plot on U.S. Capitol. See the nice acronym ISIS? The word Islam isn't even in it. And Ohio man has no reference to the man's religion. Whereas when they want to say something positive, we always hear about that religion. But when it has anything to do with negative, you hear nothing to do with that religion. Why is that? Because of the fifth column in the United States of America, operating in the halls of Congress, in the media, in the government itself, and, of course, in the universities. Duke University to sound Muslim call to prayer. Not making it up. Not making it prayer. Making it up. Muslim call to prayer to be chanted every Friday at Duke University. I am making this up. Am I creating this to agitate you? In a new initiative to promote religious domination, so-called Duke University will broadcast the Muslim call to prayer every Friday on campus. The call to prayer will be chanted by the Duke Muslim Student Association, a well-known front group, as you can pretty much imagine. The Muslim prayer itself is set to start this Friday at 1 p.m. and will be broadcast and amplified from the Chapel Bell Tower on campus. Now, why is it that we're not hearing church bells broadcast on campus? The answer is because the Christians don't fight. Because the Christians have been deballed. Because Christian boys have been turned into Christian chicks. And as a result of that, there is no Christian presence at most universities in America today. They have been silenced. They have been delegitimized. And as a result, now the Muslims are moving in to take over the universities. As you know, Duke University used to be a fine university, but it's long been taken over by the radical feminists and the illegitimate communist movement. And they have a long history of fostering political stupidity and hypersensitivity, from removing Chick-fil-A from the campus, hosting a National Palestine Solidarity Movement conference, and forcing a pro-life event to be canceled by their women's center. Ashley Pratt, well, I don't want to go on. It's actually sickening. It should be illegal. It should be prohibited to have a Muslim prayer chanted at a university and broadcast on a speaker system, forcing it down the throats of others. But then again, we've become used to this under Barack Obama, haven't we? We've become used to not only executive orders by a would-be dictator, but everything else that is anathema to the American way. And on that wonderful note, we open up Unprotected Talk on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-282, but not surprisingly, even in this third hour, we have a full board. There's no room to even get onto the show. I'll just start with the callers and go from there. Line number two, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, this is great. KSFO, San Francisco. Thanks, Mike, for having me on. Long-time listener. I don't know. You got so many topics. How about I got a new dog, a little guy. I almost stepped on her this morning. I got to get a bell, I think, for her neck.
You have to be very careful with little dogs. By the way, which religion hates dogs?
Oh, come on. Yeah. Same ones.
No. Say the word. Say the word. The peaceful religion. The religion of peace does not permit dogs. Did you know that?
Yep.
Somali Muslim cab drivers have turned down passengers with dogs at Minneapolis Airport. And it went without a fight in this country while they imposed their retrograde throwback laws upon us. So, I mean, what more do you need to know that they hate women, homosexuals, dogs, Jews, Christians, Buddhists, and Hindus, and we're supposed to sit here and take it like a bunch of fools and not see what they're doing to this country? But let's go back to the dog story. I've had big dogs, small dogs, now I have a small dog. You do have to be very careful. You can crush them in sleep in your bed as well, you know.
I know, Mike. I got a one-year-old, a five-year-old, a little puppy. I'm very blessed, but I got, like my mom says, if I listen to you too long, I get all worked up. So got to listen to more 50s rock and roll. I'm like,
no. Yeah. Well, it's good to get worked up because otherwise you'll get worked over. Tell your mother that. The Mike Savage said it's important for a man in America to get worked up these days, or he's going to get worked over by Obama and the radical feminist, communist, socialist, Islamists amongst us.
I know. Hey,
yeah, a little bell. How small is your dog?
Well, she's, we call her Fluffy. She's a little thing, probably 7 weeks, 8 weeks old, maybe. She's a,
Man, you get a little collar with a little bell, and Tinkerbell will be heard wherever she goes, and that way you can't lose her or step on her. They require special care, and you have to be very cautious with them because you can roll on them, you know, and crush them. Yeah, God forbid that would happen. You wouldn't be too happy. Thanks for calling, and tell your mom not to worry so much if you want to protect your children from the coming onslaught of the communist, socialist, Islamists amongst us. That opens up one line. Let's go to line number 7. What's on your mind? Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. My name is Tina. I'm calling from Huntsville, Alabama, on WVNN. And
beautiful.
I just wanted to say, Michael, that I really appreciate you being on air and talking about all this stuff and educating everyone. And I am a solid Savagette. And I just wanted to say is that you're killing me with all these topics. Because really what it comes down to is the liberals are micromanaging our lives.
And yeah, you can say that, but it isn't liberals. They're not liberals at all. They're fascists. They're not liberals. They may pose as liberals with their self-satisfied smiles, but Nancy Pelosi picking a radical Muslim to be on this intelligence committee is not the mark of liberalism. It's the mark of fascism. Why is she doing that?
You know what, Michael, that's a great question to ask.
Why would this imposter in the president's office, even though his policies were just roundly defeated at the ballot box, why would this imposter continue to rule by executive order when he knows the American people hate his guts?
Well, then there's the other half that lets him get away with it.
It's not even the other half. Let's not go with their lies. This man is the most detested president in American history. Everybody knows that. Any educated person knows that this man is the most hated president in American history. He is driving us to a state that we don't want to be in. And I'll let it go at that because I'm getting worked up now because I don't want to get worked over. That opens up one line on the Savage Nation. Time for one quick call. Line number 5, fire away. You got 2 minutes.
Thank you, Michael. This is Thomas. I'm listening WABC from New Jersey. Michael, there's a very easy way to save America and the Western free world. And there's 5 men in America that can do it, Michael. And if you can just give me a few more seconds, I'll give you the 5 names. The names, of course, are...
Can you cancel that call, please? I mean, this is a plant call job. I don't want to hear a litany of names. We can't save ourselves, let alone America. Listen, let me tell you something. Any talk show host who thinks he's a politician ought to quit radio and run for office. We are not politicians. We are talk show hosts. You may pretend you're a politician, but you're not a politician until you're a politician. It's a wholly different beast. So I don't want to hear about me or Rush or anyone else saving America, please. Yeah, I wish we could by the wave of a wand, but we're not saving anything. We're just protecting talk and freedom of speech and expressing views. And hopefully you'll listen long enough to get a laugh out of it and learn a little bit. But what are we actually saving? When we go to the ballot box and this imposter in the White House tries to annihilate our vote, what does that tell us? It tells us that we need a more vigorous opposition party, and certainly that's what we talk about. But there I go again, talking about politics. Line 8, we have time for you. 1 minute, fire away on the Savage Nation.
You got to have some levity in this business.
Okay, I can't hear you when you're on speakerphone. All right, that's all. In-N-Out Burger is all I heard. In-N-Out Burger. Line 4, 30 seconds. Go ahead, please.
How you doing? Mike calling from New York, 77 WABC. I just wanted to say that we got a double-edged blade of demise going on here. We have a speaker inside the House that is capitulating completely to the Democrats and the liberals and the fascists, as you call them. And on the other side, we have a president that is looking for nothing more than the demise of our country. So,
Do you still feel as alone in your opinions as you would have a year ago? I'll bet you wouldn't have even said this a year ago. But you're emboldened enough to know that he's doing exactly what an enemy would do to this country. Isn't that what you're saying?
That's absolutely right. And
all right, well, you see, the people are finally standing up to this guy because unless millions of us stand up to him, we're finished. That's all I can tell you. We're going to be finished as a nation, so stand up and speak out before you're knocked out. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
But that's not the only way. way that you counter this kind of extremism. Much of it Islamic, you're absolutely right, but some of it not. So we're going to focus on all the different kinds of extremism with a heavy focus on people who do this in the name of Islam. We would say falsely in the name of Islam.
Oh, shut her up. Shut up, the sorority girl. Why does Obama surround himself with these sorority girls? They're running America. They're making America a laughingstock. Have you seen pictures of the so-called leadership of America around Obama when he sits there when he doesn't wear a suit and he's having some kind of relaxed meeting with these kids? Do you have any idea the danger we are in? Because this is not a JV team. This is an elementary school team running America. But the danger here is not that they're an elementary school team. They're an extremely dangerous elementary school team. In fact, a story came out today that was pretty alarming, and it said that Obama, what he's getting away with stripping away our immigration laws. Well, the headline in the National Review Online by Joel Gerke is "What Not Even the King of England Could Do." A federal researcher points out George III couldn't suspend laws as Obama just did with our immigration laws. Not even the King of England at the time of the American Revolution had the authority to suspend laws unilaterally. The law library expert wrote in a memorandum to the Senate committee tasked with responding to Obama's recent executive orders on the enforcement of immigration law. 100 years before the American Revolution, another British king had attempted to suspend a number of laws, contributing to the onset of the Glorious Revolution in England. A senior foreign law specialist at the law library writes in the memo to the Senate Judiciary Committee. King George III, the specialist goes on to remind the committee, was thus unable to enact or repeal any laws unilaterally without the involvement of Parliament. The memo obtained by National Review Online was written in response to a request by Senator Jeff Sessions, according to a top aide in his office. So Obama's executive actions supersede or are greater in their insult to the rule of law and the rule of our national democracy, if there is any left, an insult greater than that committed by King George III. But the reason he gets away with it is manifest and manifold. The reasons are manifold, and the reasons are clear. But we have a problem on our hands because people will not say it like it is. By and large, we had an election that was nullified by the press, by the media, by the media jesters like Jon Stewart, the media jesters like Bill Maher. These are media jesters, or I really call them government jesters, because you may envision them in a jester's costume. That's all they are. They work for the government. Oh, yes, now they're muttering things about Islam in order to maintain a shred of credibility, but it's a little too late for the party because they were slamming and ridiculing people like Michael Savage for well over 10 years now because we were saying it like it was, and I was saying it in books I wrote 10 years ago. Now all of a sudden, oh, they're muttering, yeah, radical Islam, right? And, of course, this stooge crowd applauds. Wonderful. So how do we get out from under the iron boot of this insane elementary school team? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I try my best. I give it my heart and soul. But apparently the American people are sheeple who are born for slavery. And they will have slavery. They will have slavery because that's what they wish for. They wish to be enslaved as they are now enslaved by their vices and devices. Not a bad choice of words. Yes, enslaved by their vices and devices. Sitting here watching the world literally change in front of their eyes, and they come from the Woody Allen School of Foreign Policy, where they're citizens of the world, and they think that the Muslims would leave them alone because they're not really anti-Islam. I mean, Woody Allen would be spared. I mean, he may be Jewish, but he would be spared because he's one of the good Jews. I'm just giving you types that their whole life they've attacked conservatives, attacked patriots, spit on people who are patriots, made a mockery of the police, made a mockery of our soldiers, made a mockery of our flag, made a mockery of the church, made a mockery of the family, made a mockery of father, made a mockery of mother, made a mockery of everything decent and sacred about this nation. And they are the cultural icons of America. So if you think that Obama came out of a vacuum, you're mistaken. He is the collective consciousness of those people. They created him in their mind. The Larry Davids of the world, the Harvey Weinsteins of the world. Those individuals that I often ridicule on this show, using satire, using sarcasm, using all the powers that God has given me and all the knowledge that I have gained over the years. All of the reading, I try to tell you who they are historically. And there are many names for the Woody Allens in the world, as talented and as funny as they may be.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
combat extremism is something that we want to be focused on, and it's not just Islamic violent extremism that we want to counter.
No, keep going.
And all forms of violent extremism would be discussed, and obviously the most potent and certainly the most graphic display that we've seen in recent days is motivated by those individuals that seek to invoke the name of Islam to carry out these violent attacks.
You know, spokesmouths like Josh Earnest rightly earn a place in human history as the lowest of human form. In other words, it's one thing to be ignorant. It's another thing to be an outright paid spokesman for horror and hell. But men like Josh Earnest, who refuse to call the devil, are the Pied Pipers leading us all to our death. And he works, of course, for the master of Pied Pipers. Do I have to mention the O name? We know who he is, and we know exactly the damage he's done to the soul of this nation. The lunatics on the left used to say the inmates are running the asylum. And it was like, oh, inmates running the asylum, inmates running the asylum. Well, now it's beyond the inmates running the asylum. The lunatics who have ruined every aspect of America have just passed a new law in West Hollywood requiring gender-neutral single-stall bathrooms in California in this city. Businesses in West Hollywood have 60 days to comply with a new law requiring all single-stall restrooms to be gender-neutral and not restrict usage to a single sex. Now, the aim of this insanity is to accommodate the small number of transgender and gender non-conforming people. So that means if you're a pervert and you're a man, you can now go and watch women in a bathroom. I hope we can encourage other cities to adopt this, said Abby Land, a councilwoman who initiated the law. She said, it's really so easy when you think about it. I'm glad that we're one of the cities moving toward that. The L.A. suburb, which has a sizable gay and transgender population, passed the ordinance in June. It doesn't apply to multiple stall restrooms. A city statement reads as follows. Gender-specific restrooms can be unwelcoming and potentially unsafe for many people whose gender identity falls outside of traditional gender norms. So that means that someone who is sexually ambivalent or sexually confused or sexually outright crazy has now twisted the laws to conform to their insanity. They then went on, the city said. The law will also prove beneficial to, quote, people with disabilities or with personal attendance. How does that work? I don't quite understand that. So that's an example of what happens when a college sorority takes over a country. Every crazy rule that colleges have imposed upon the student body over the last 15 to 20 years, every insane act of these liberal institutions of lower living is now being imposed on society at large by the sorority that surrounds Barack Hussein Obama. Instead of training the military to fight ISIS, they're training them to not be sexist. Instead of worrying about rapists and making sure they don't rape, they're making everybody else sit in horror and fear that a pervert will pretend that he's a transgender and stare at them in a bathroom. This is the world that's upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland, in my opinion. So when I say to you earlier, suddenly it's 1955, not everything from the past was bad, I think you sort of get the picture. Yes? The latest poll coming out of the military showing Obama is the most unpopular commander, if you want to call him in chief, in the history of the U.S. military. And there's no question why. The man is permitting the sorority girls who ran some of the worst colleges in America to run the military. He has women who have never flown a jet commanding the Air Force. He has women who can't drive a Chris Craft outboard motorboat running the Navy. And so it sort of has its effect upon the fighting men of the military. And here's an example of why the service members are unhappy. They invented a thing about sexual assault because that came from the universities. And Hagel, the worst defense secretary to have ever hit the military, started to impose it upon military units across the board. Sexual assault training. And yet most military members aren't even sure whether there was any sexual assault. But it was invented by the contingent of radical feminists who have stolen the military from us, from we the American people, and they're trying to advance themselves within the military by running the men down. And here's an example. Army Staff Sergeant Alexander Von Arstel said the military sexual harassment and assault prevention training is one-sided and overly focused on painting men as aggressors and women as victims. And here's what he said. He said, a common thing among male service members when they head into the training is to say, it's time to learn what a racist, sexist, intolerant bastard I am, Van Arstel said. That's what it feels like. We start to get a little indignant and upset and feel persecuted in our own right. Well, you should. He said, the more you beat somebody down on something, the more likely it is to say, screw this and toss it aside. And so that's what Obama's doing to the military. He's destroying the culture. But all I can do is tell you every day what's going on and ask you why Nancy Pelosi, who is a grandmother and a Catholic, would announce in a closed-door meeting just today that she would name the first Muslim lawmaker to the House's Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. On it. I mean, at a time like this, why now? What is this idiot trying to say? What is she saying? Screw everybody? I'm smarter than everyone? I don't understand how this country can survive with such idiocy. Because I think that Nancy Pelosi once in a while would wake up and say, you know, I have grandchildren. I really ought to be worried about whether they can survive under Sharia law. But no, she'll go ahead. And she'll listen to Jimmy Carter's big lie that it's the Jews. And it's Israel rather than the Jews. You know, you understand that the good liberals say that they're not anti-Jewish. In fact, some of them invite Jews to dinner. Some liberals actually invite Jews to dinner or have Jews marry into their family. No, it's anti-Zionism. It's not anti-Jewishism. They don't marry Zionists. They marry Jews who have no relationship to Israel or Judaism. They're Jews in name only. And then they think that they have cover and that they're good people. And then they follow the Jimmy Carter belief that all of the attacks around the world by infuriated, underprivileged Muslims are because of the Palestinian problem. You have to play clip two again. Just play it again, Sam.
Well, one of the origins for it is the Palestinian problem, you know, and this aggravates people who are affiliated anyway with the Arab people who live in the West Bank and Gaza. What they're doing now, what's being done to them.
Well, you see, now the real problem is the Jimmy Carter problem. The real problem is the Jimmy Carter problem, the Barack Obama problem, the Dianne Feinstein problem, the Nancy Pelosi problem. That's the real problem, is the ostrich effect, the head in the sand approach. And if you listen to guys like him, we have no problem with radical Islam. The president of France said we do. The president of England said we do. But not Josh Earnest, Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi. No, we have no problem with them at all. It's Israel. It's those darn Jews again. If only those darn Jews would pack up their little valises and leave the Middle East, why, the Palestinians would turn it into a paradise. The problem is, Barack Obama is his blood brother. Jimmy Carter's views are that of the entire left-wing establishment. It's exactly why they won't call terrorism Muslim. It's exactly why the State Department sorority girls will not connect the dots as every other nation is doing. Now, what do these countries have in common? Afghanistan, Burma, Pakistan, Philippines, Bangladesh, India, China, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Libya, Mali, Nigeria, Somalia, Algeria, Cameroon, Nigeria, Uganda, Chechnya, Dagestan, Russia, Iraq, Israel, Syria, and Yemen. What do they all have in common? Why, they're all fighting Islamic murderers. They're all fighting Islamic extremists. They're all fighting 9th century throwbacks who would like to drag the world back well over 1,000 years, imprison women, kill homosexuals, and turn the rest of us into slaves, burn our libraries. Shall I add a little more to the list of what they do when they take over a country? Are you that stupid? Are you that idiotic that you listen to Bill Maher or the moron who runs The Daily Show and you think that you know what's going on in the world? You've not been yet aware of the fact that these clowns are government agents. They're nothing but government jesters. I don't mean they receive a check from the federal government, but they receive their marching orders from the federal government, or else they wouldn't be on the air. They're government jesters, all of them. And that's why the drug generation is ignorant. They are the victims, the sheeple, getting ready to go to slaughter and have their throats cut. Now, you say it can't happen here. You say that that could never happen. I know some very intelligent people who fear it can happen here. They fear that It is already happening here. They fear that the operatives of such activities have already been put in place in this country in very high places. The problem we have, though, can be heard in the sorority girls who work for President AWOL Obama. Here, for example, is a girl, a sorority girl, who is not only a sorority girl, but she works for the State Department as the number one spokesmouth for the American policy toward radical Islam. You have to listen to clip five.
Well, it's not hard to say, but it's not the only kind of extremism we face. I would recommend to folks looking at this administration's counterterrorism record, I would remind people that more terrorists who claim to do acts of violence in the name of Islam have been taken off the battlefield in this administration than under any previous one.
She was asked on Fox News why you will not say it is radical Islam that we're fighting. And the sorority girl, Marie Harf, who speaks for Barack Obama in the State Department, or is it Lantern Jaw Kerry, I don't know who, would not say radical Islam. Listen to clip six.
But that's not the only way that you counter this kind of extremism. Much of it Islamic, you're absolutely right, but some of it not. So we're going to focus on all the different kinds of extremism.
Hold it, stop. So they're going to hold a meeting on extremism, but not about Muslim terrorism. It's just one of many. And no doubt they'll bring up Christian terrorism and Jewish terrorism. Perhaps even Hindu terrorism and Buddhist terrorism and certainly Christian terrorism, but they won't say Islam. They're just one of many kinds of terror in the world. This is the exact party line of the front groups for the new Hitlers of our time. Pay careful attention to the death of a nation. There was once a movie and a book called The Birth of a Nation. Well, Barack Obama's legacy is liable to be the death of a nation unless you, the sheeple, wake up and smell the scimitar. Be right back.
America will never tap into educational innovation and ingenuity without looking at the model that we have in our madrasas, in our schools, where innovation is encouraged, where the foundation is the Quran.
Wednesday, January 14, 2015, Daily Mail. Attention, psychotic liberals, especially those in the Bay Area, who worship Nancy Pelosi. Can anyone listening to this program tell me why the Democrats will appoint a Muslim to the House Intelligence Committee who said U.S. schools should be like Islamic madrasas and warned law enforcement agents sitting in the audience that Allah will not allow you to stop us? Why would Nancy Pelosi, a Catholic grandmother, do this to America? Is she insane? Is she stupid? Is there something else at play here? Indiana Democratic Rep. Andre Carson will soon sit on a legislative committee where some of America's most precious secrets are examined. The former policeman converted to Islam as an adult and is one of only two Muslim members of Congress. In a 2012 speech before fellow Muslims, he said American schools would be more innovative if they were more like Islamic madrasas. Well, afterwards, Rep. Carson claimed that he was misunderstood. But he never addressed another line in the speech that seemed to taunt undercover agents who were present when he said, Allah will not allow you to stop us. And yet, House Minority Leader, the crazy Nancy Pelosi, who certainly would know better, especially after Paris, is set to appoint this Muslim troublemaker to the Intelligence Committee, announced yesterday, which will give him access to some of America's most closely held secrets in the war on terror. Now, this move comes as the world is still reeling with the Al-Qaeda death squad's massacre of journalists at the French satire magazine. Representative Andre Carson has attracted suspicion for his public statements, which have been playing for you on the Savage Nation, including a 2012 Islamic Circle of North America convention, which unto itself is troublesome, when he said America's schools should be modeled after Quranic madrasas. And later on in the speech, he warned undercover law agents skulking around the event looking for secret meetings that Allah will not allow you to stop us. Why would Nancy Pelosi do this to America, especially at a time like this? Carson is a former police officer. He represents Indiana's 7th District, an urban area that includes most of Indianapolis. He is closely affiliated with the Nation of Islam. He is only one of two Muslim members of Congress. Voters sent him to Congress in a 2008 special election following the death of his grandma, who held a seat before him, His grandma was a close friend of Louis Farrakhan. At the time, he was already a member of the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Intelligence. And if you can believe this or not believe it, but it explains why we're losing the war on terror, he once worked for the Department of Homeland Security's so-called Fusion Center, a data-sharing hub which merges intelligence collected by the CIA, the FBI, the Pentagon, and the Justice Department. However, elevating this man to the House Intelligence Committee is a very serious breach of national security. At the 2012 Islamic Convention in Hartford, Connecticut, Rep. Carson said that America will never tap into educational innovation and ingenuity without looking at the model that we have in our madrasas, in our schools, where innovation is encouraged, where the foundation is the Quran. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all know that's a big lie. Religious schools do not teach innovation, especially Muslim religious schools. They teach parrot learning. They teach parrot repetition. They teach no thinking, no independent thought, certainly not freedom of speech, not freedom of thought. Is this what we need on the House Intelligence Committee now? As I end this program tonight on the Savage Nation with very good news for myself, it's a very bad day for America because the radical Democrat Socialist Islamist Party under Barack Hussein Obama has just ratcheted up their insanity, now coming at us from none other than the Catholic grandmother, Nancy Pelosi. Can someone tell me why she'd push this man into this committee? Answer that question. That's the million-dollar question.